Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, currently airing on Disney+. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my Star Wars compatriots. Kat Benish is here. Hi, Kat.
You actually started with me last week.
I know. I overthought it.
Yeah, yeah. I could see you thinking about it. Do you want to do it again? Or just go to... Hi, I'll do it. I'm joined by my... What do you say? Anyways, I'm joined by Tony Sindelar. Tony, why don't we go to you next?
What are you doing?
I'm taking over. Okay. It's a coup.
Wow. I guess I'm... I mean, I just go where the power is. Okay. I'm just glad I got a name and not a specimen number. Thanks for welcoming me to the podcast. Kat, how's it going?
SP2. And I'm joined by then SP3, and I will be SP1.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I suddenly feel dehumanized.
Yeah. Have we been stack ranked?
No.
Just checking.
The numbers just indicate the order that you were captured by the Empire.
Reverse chronological order.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm.
They knew they would end. They knew they'd only have three, so they started with three.
Always three there are.
Well, we're here to discuss a double feature of episodes this week. Episode 10, Identity Crisis, and episode 11, Point of No Return. And if you were thinking, boy, this show is super friendly and unbeaten light.
For kids. Is this
I'm reminded of I'm reminded of the conversation that we had not long ago about shows for kids and Tony's comment that The Clone Wars is a show which deals with both Jar Jar Binks and war crimes.
So,
which are weirdly enough not the same episode.
I am going to say clearly, and this is I'm just going to jump right into it, is I think if you were a kid, you will handle these two episodes better than I did.
100% yeah. You will handle this better than adults.
And you will be great at building the Lego set of the child jail they release.
I have no shame in saying I was like literally curled up on the couch crying during the first of these episodes. Mm-hmm. I do not handle child kidnapping. I do not handle child death whatsoever. I literally have to put down books now and do not finish them. It's just I cannot do it as a plot point. I did not like that episode. I took zero joy from it. I barely want to talk about it, but we are here and I will do so.
Just
the other side of it was good, just still really dark, but didn't quite have me like, oh my god, the
Owlbear. I will just say, as somebody who is slightly less emotionally affected by it, not because I'm a man, but because I don't have children, I don't think the takeaway from that episode is that look, as a podcast, I think we could all collectively agree harvesting children and experimenting on them and keeping them in an institution and referring them only to by numbers is something bad people do.
And it's also like it's a little bit like, and we're not gonna get down with the whole like I was thinking a little bit of like Game of Thrones and like all the gratuitous sexual or assault scenes of like, and that's not what this is, but there's also great, there's like there's knowing the Empire's bad, mm-hmm. that's hearing specifically why the Empire's bad,
and then there's like, seeing the duty like, roster
having the
where
children,
we assign
and then yeah literally stealing a tiny yeah. little owl who's the same age as my son who wants his little teddy bear out of the arms of his mother who's done on the floor as he's wailing as he's dragged down and being like, I have an issue with this episode. Like, you could have just said this was happening and I would have been like, okay, got it, motivation, great. But please don't show me this motivation because it's just, I don't want to see this.
How did they decide that they need like 12 guys outside the room with three children?
So there's a lot in this episode, I think. And I mean, I think really focuses, I think we are being put in Emery's shoes here,
yes.
right? This is, Emery is taking over the project from Nala Se, from Project Necromancer.
Yeah.
And coming to terms with exactly what that means and essentially the fact that she is complicit in this terrible
yes.
thing that is being done. And, you know, talking about, I think essentially, it's the complicity of evil, right? It's like all the scientists in World War II were just like
banality of evil,
right. But the banality, but it's not just the banality, right? It's the fact that
it's Hannah Arendt.
But like, I mean, the fact that all these experiments are being done and you don't really think about what the implications are. You know, you have a variety of historical figures of this kind, many of whom went to go beyond be employed by the U.S. government after World
War
II.
Some even won Nobel Prizes. I totally agree. I think this comes back to the Game of Thrones, though. Like, I think I struggle with two things in this episode. One, how much when you want to use a horrible thing as a character, I mean, Dan, you and I have talked about this for years as a writer too, of like, and I think, I don't want to tie it back to sexual assault, but like, I think there's been a lot of conversation about that, of essentially, and when I watch this episode, it's like, how much of a bad thing do you want to show?
Mm-hmm.
And how using a bad thing is a motivation for a character, right?
Yes. And that's, in this case, and again, mainly like, Emery, right?
Yeah. I recognize as a new mother, like who is someone who tends to be very emotional, like this probably hit me more than most people.
That's just chemicals in your brain telling you to love your child.
It's weird. There's also this episode where they kidnap podcasters, and I also have an issue with that.
I was going to say, that's totally fine. It's understandable. Yeah, I think we all agree.
They have it.
They got it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are some questions about that, but I mean, fundamentally, I think this is... that feels, you know, comparing it to something like Game of Thrones or something like that, which feels particularly exploitative.
I would say
that's...
I don't want to equate the two, because I don't think they're equated. I think the Game of Thrones was just like... just wildly wrong, and this was just more of like, I think there are certain people who will be more affected by this, who just, and this is sort of like why
I
don't enjoy it.
And I think there's also a part of this that is, it is, while it is being done for, some of it is character motivation, it is also plot development, and I think, again, we're seeing the first part of something. Like, I don't think it's like, well, these awful things happen and nobody can do anything about it. And oh, well, that is evil. Goodbye. Like,
no,
I think we're
I mean, it ends with Emery giving basically a, you know, contraband.
Omega's doll. Yeah.
A doll to a child.
Let's be very clear, though. If we don't rescue the kids by the end of this season, I am going to Disney and I am burning it down.
Free the owl bear. I mean, it's especially tricky because I feel like there are two parts of this episode. There is the parts we see through Emery's eyes, which are obviously awful, and we see the dehumanization of the children, and she's not allowed to refer to them by name, and they keep reaching out for someone and, you know, acting like innocent little children who live in a horrible prison cell. And then there's basically like the horror movie that happens to the owlbear family. You know, I mean, and the episode opens with that, where you know, the vase gets thrown, and it's like, this is not going to end well for this child, right? Even before I see the guy go in and call in a tip to the Empire, it's like, no, I mean, like, things don't go great for Force-sensitive children. In the good old days, you got kidnapped by the Jedi, but now your blood gets harvested. In the good old days, you become a monk against your will. In the new days, you are a guinea pig.
I was actually thinking about that, different from an
owl.
there was an interesting, and I don't think they linked to this too, but the comparison to the Jedi of like, yeah, we would also kidnap you, but like, maybe we would talk to you first. I was also reminded there's a great Rebels episode where they're trying to save the babies from being kidnapped. The two of the kids. It's super cute, and they successfully stop the kidnapping. Mm-hmm. And I like, as I went into this episode, I was kind of hoping that someone was going to jump out of like the wings, and was like, no, there was no one.
No.
Well, the things that are interesting to me in addition about this episode are some of the links into larger things, right? Like, we see, we understand a little bit more about Project Necromancer. They specifically mentioned
there is a line
about
Omega's
blood.
I
don't know. So I mean, I don't know if I have enough science to parse this, but I guess here, how did people read that line? I read it as, Omega is not force sensitive, or it doesn't matter whether Omega is force sensitive. They need her blood to clone Jedi.
They need her DNA. They need her DNA because they said when they basically try to clone, you can't replicate the M count from Jedi. Again, never heard the word Jedi in this episode, and a lot of people didn't seem to understand the connection between M count and Jedi, which was super interesting. But more the ad that she serves as a binder for you to enable to recreate the M counts.
Because they need to clone the Empire. Emperor, correct. That's their mission.
Which is the Empire. The Emperor is the Empire.
Yeah.
The other thing I found very interesting about this was I found myself thinking about halfway through, like, well, I think, do we now know where Grogu came from? Yeah.
What do you mean?
Why is he in that little bassinet at the very beginning of The Mandalorian? Why did the Empire want him? Presumably, was he a also at some point a prisoner of this, and seems like it based on what Gideon wanted him for, even though it's never explicitly spelled out.
I never totally understood. I think there's not an answer in the text of the show. Like, in episode one of The Mandalorian, why is Grogu, like, in that warehouse? You know? Like, how did he end up there?
I think it's basically dissolution of the Empire. Like, you know, all the stuff that the Empire was doing kind of gets scattered, or people take, you know, warlords take parts of it to that they feel like are valuable, or stuff that they can sell off or whatever. And presumably maybe somebody stole a baby.
Yeah.
Don't steal babies.
Yeah, don't steal babies. I will say, I think something that I did really enjoy in this episode is once again, budgets are probably the downfall of the Empire and needing to manage to a tight budget and bureaucracy, and Tarkin being like, yeah, you say this is a pet project of the Emperor, but like,
I would not have taken that.
I haven't
seen
any TPS reports.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the chain of command there?
Well, I mean, he had a meeting like two episodes ago or three or four episodes ago with the Emperor and the Emperor is like,
he doesn't approve the appropriations.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's the, you know, he has the Emperor's verbal authorization.
He's the supreme leader except for budgeting? Like, he just missed that loophole?
But there's still some checks and balances, right?
The Senate is still around.
I'm just saying, you know, I don't think the Emperor is probably great at following up on things, right? I mean, he's a big picture guy. He never did the thing to, like, you know, to put the stamp on the authorization for this thing.
I don't have time for paperwork.
And so you have Governor Tarkin. I was trying to, like, remind myself of because this is the kind of deranged Star Wars fan I am. It's like, where is Tarkin in his career? So he's a governor. So he's post-military career, because a governor is a political position, but it's basically the most junior political position, because he will later be a Moff and then a Grand Moff.
A Grand Moff.
Again, yeah. Jag's Star Wars is going to be great. Mm-hmm. No, there's someone telling me, I forget, it might have been you, Dan, or someone was saying that there is a great podcast or book or article, some form of media. Let's go with some form of media.
There is a thing. Yeah, there's
thing. A thing.
Okay. Cat. Sounds like me so
I
far.
Agree. I agree with you. Things exist. Continue.
That's about Oppenheimer, but from the from the budgeting perspective, that there were like a series of people who understood how to funnel money from the spending bill and go allow them to set that up in a way that wouldn't ask any questions. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, because I never actually read this, but someone recommended
this.
Write in
to Kat.
Cool.
Tell Kat what you're thinking of.
What am I thinking of? The one thing that I thought, let me put it this way. Despite the subject matter, I thought this episode is really well done in its subtlety parts. And like, I know that's a weird thing to say about an episode that involves the broadness of, but like watching, especially I think Emery, I thought was a really good small performance, like every little bit where she, you know, she is clearly someone who has led a very sheltered life and does not really think about the implications, and seeing it like chip away at her, I thought was a credit to both the animation and the acting performance, as she starts to be like, starts asking more questions and starts thinking about
the
things.
The conversation between her and Nala Se is kind of like, you know, like, how did you let this happen?
Why didn't you do anything? Yeah,
and it's like, why didn't you do anything, Emery Carr?
Yeah,
like,
it's hot dog guy gif.
Yeah,
we're all trying to find the person who did this.
You know, we're both in the same prison.
That, and I also full marks again to Jimmy Simpson as Hemlock, who is just so creepy.
Such lizard
so
eyes.
So creepy.
Yeah.
His voice is so good. Like, it's spine chilling.
That's not my voice, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Dr. Carr.
I had forgotten Emery has a last name also, which where do you get a last name from when you're a clone? I don't know.
Yeah. We aren't really explained her deal. What is her deal?
We do not know her deal. Yeah. I feel like that's got to get explained, right? Like, it was a really?
They show a lot of other personnel occasionally from the back or something, and I'm like, are they all clones?
Like, it seems significant that they chose to make her a clone. They could have made, she could just be a sympathetic Imperial scientist who worked with Omega, and then sees the horrible things happening to children, and has some, you know, is going to have some conscious crisis of conscious or crisis of
conscience,
loyalty to
conscious
horrible
of crisis.
Job. Yeah, conscious of
loyalty.
Crisis. Thank
crisis
you.
Of conscience.
But the it seems like they made her a clone, and there's have not been told why yet. Right?
There's, I think there is a reason. I don't know what it is, but I think again, I agree with Tony. Like, if you're making that choice. Again, we made a big choice when we had Omega be the clone. It's like, you're the only clone of this kind. But if you suddenly say there's two of them, it also feels like that's even weirder in some ways.
I'm making a face.
And this one has a doctorate degree.
And she's a brunette. No, I'm making a face just because I could see that you might be right. I will concede that you may be, in fact, be right. However, there exists a possibility that if you were a writer in the writer room recognizing they're now like three seasons apart, they needed to make a connection between, or I guess two seasons apart, between Omega and Emery when they first showed up. I'm like, oh, yeah, she's a clone. She's totally a clone. We'll come back to that. And then later they're like, yeah, we got nothing really there, so we're just going to do it from something else, really different story. And they just needed some sort of hook in the very beginning because she wakes up and is like, I'm your sister. And that was like, that was it the end of the season? Yeah, it was the end of the season.
Last season.
I mean,
it was the hook. And now it was like, we just needed something, but they may have thought it through at all.
Classic Star Wars is full of that kind of slapdash shenanigans. I kind of, I want more in modern Star Wars, whether they actually do that or not.
I think there is a rationale for it, whether or not we see that developed on screen. You know, they may
or we'll
fail
find out
to
in a,
follow through on it. But I think
in
there
a later
is a
series,
hook there.
Tales from the in between the Clone Wars and Bad Batch. Tales from the scientists. Yeah.
I also think this is my prediction. I'm going to throw this out there. When Emery, this is kind of like a weird. Like anti-trope, when Emery decides to change her allegiance, I bet you money that she will take off the glasses. Like that is the visual signifier.
They'll be left on the desk.
Yes, 100%.
And she takes her hair down too. Is this
real?
Like,
that's what
montage.
I was gonna say. It's a weird trope. That's strange. She puts on Tech's broken glass. That got really weird.
No,
it's too soon. Yeah. Too soon.
Speaking of tech, do you want to shift?
Well, we're
to
not.
The-
we're yeah. Do we? Before we do that, was there anything else? The other thing that we learned in here is the feed into the next episode.
Yeah.
Which is that we learn that Hemlock has dispatched the clone assassin who
Spooky.
Did not die.
Spooky the clone. Yeah.
Spooky the clone.
Potentially Spooky Tech.
Or Spooky Crosshair.
But Spooky Tech, who has both hands, so likely not Spooky Tech.
Well, Tech has.
Oh, it's Echo then that has Echo, the
robot robot hands.
One robot hand.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Anyways, has dispatched them to look for Omega, which we kind of knew, but that the clone assassin found Phi.
Yeah.
And is tracking her.
Did
because
really
she,
like
by
the,
interrogating Sid. Sid, a character that I think we're done with, but also. Like
I did appreciate the quick run to the galactic like slippery place with the 7-Eleven and the gas station. That was actually very funny.
Especially that I thought that was somewhat unusual. We see a planet without a breathable atmosphere on a moon with a base that the ship has to go into.
Yeah.
That felt like something from many other science fiction things that I feel like we never see on Star Wars. Every atmosphere is breathable, basically.
Asteroid inside the space creature, which still does
little,
not make sense to me.
Basically,
no, they wear little breathing masks.
Yeah, but those are like,
no,
those
don't
work. Yeah, they do.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were saying the space creature was wearing a breathing mask. I was like, that's entirely wrong.
The Minox have little
Why
masks
would I
on
say that?
Cat.
Yeah.
They don't have vacuum. They have like things like you would give someone oxygen with if they were in like the emergency room. They do not have full vacuum spacesuits or anything. But yeah.
Well, you can have, presumably you can have some sort of atmosphere, but that's just not breathable, but that you could like go outside in.
I mean, basically the gravity has to be substantial to hold gases.
Right. But it could hold the wrong gases that you don't want to breathe.
You are unlikely. We can do the, we can consult an astronomer. Hold on. I'm getting my text.
Astrologer, please. Astrologer.
Okay. Okay. Well, Tony writes a text. I do. I was going to note that, I think in this episode, the droid that refuels him is voiced by Matt Lanter, which is a real come down. Matt Lanter, who voiced Anakin in the Clone Wars, I like that he gets little cameos every once in a while.
All right, real time follow up from the astronomer that we pay on retainer. An asteroid would need to be bigger than the moon, probably a Mars sized.
in order to have any atmosphere.
Okay.
Wait, are you paying me? Asked the astronomer, who is too near to this podcast. Are we transmitting live?
The other question is actually, what about inside a giant worm in an asteroid? Because it could have could have swallowed some air.
Where did it swallow that air from? It went to another planet.
Another asteroid.
It went to another planet and took a big breath of air and is like, I'm just going to hold this and go home and live.
Space whales. Let's go back to space whales. Them also.
No. Those are perfect.
Anyway, we've moved on to episode 11, Point of No Return. Yes, we start at the gas station. Fee has filled up her ship. The clone commando sneaks on. I appreciate that Fee at least has an anti-theft system on her ship, but it doesn't seem to work very well because the clone bypasses it.
I mean, I think similar to the $30 million cash heist that happened in L.A. like yesterday, the alarm went off, just no one noticed it. Oh, did you not know, Tony? The largest cash heist ever in L.A.'s history happened yesterday by a series of professional criminals who came in through the roof and stole $30 million in cash.
I do like that you said professional and then there was a pause and then you said criminals as opposed to professional dog walkers.
I was gonna say professional crime thieves. I was like, that's not the crime word. Thieves.
How do we know that they're professionals, Kat? I mean,
the way they broke in.
Okay, but we don't have their CV. I mean,
you don't leave that if you're a professional, Tony.
No, I'm just saying.
They didn't leave their CV.
I'm just saying maybe they're really aspirational amateur criminals.
Are you covering? They had CVs,
but it went onto two pages, so we know.
Oh, yeah, two pages. Nice, classy.
I thought you were supposed to keep it on one page.
I would not keep $30 million around in one place. That's just me.
Well, that was part of it too. You had to have insider knowledge to know there was that much cash in that vault.
Well, yeah, you would start with that as an inside job because they didn't trip the. They only tripped one alarm.
One alarm.
Right? They knew the alarms would not be
tied to local law enforcement.
Yeah, so
there was a great article about this in the LA
Times.
Our
new podcast. That's just about heists.
I'm concerned about how much you know. I think it's important to establish that we are on the other side of the country and have no insider information about this, and you can't subpoena a podcast.
And I'm going to take a picture of myself tomorrow with the newspaper, which proves
tomorrow's newspaper. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm concerned
about your knowledge of causation and the movement of time.
Yeah, pro tip: if you commit a large heist, wait several days, fly to Boston, and take a picture of yourself with a newspaper, home free. You know.
By the way, have you seen the artwork we have here? I think we have some gorgeous reproductions of the Sea of Galilee, which is an Isabel Gardner reference.
Oh, I thought you say it's in the Isabel Gardner.
It's not.
Unless the Thomas Crown Affair is going
on. We were all too young to have participated in that particular robbery. I just like it to be clear.
Is that true?
Were you?
It's the late 80s. Well, okay.
Could have technically been involved.
I'm saying we were children.
Yes, we were children. I believe.
You would least suspect.
Okay, moving on. Back to Star Wars.
I think the Isabella Stewart Gardner heist happened before I lived in Massachusetts. That is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Convenient.
Yeah. I moved to Massachusetts as a cover and enrolled in elementary school. They'll never catch me.
I love when you guys are like, man, I can't believe the show went so long. And it's like, I don't know what happened.
I assume someone in our Discord edited this out.
Yeah, someone in our Discord wrote, I learned a fun fact about Star Trek last week. I'm like, well, this week people are going to learn about some fun real heist that happened.
Most of our, I would really double check a lot of the things we say, listeners, because, you know. Okay, double check.
There was actually a heist. That is a fact, according to an article that I read yesterday.
Okay. I believe.
Anyway,
that would be a weird thing to lie about. All right. Episode 11, Point of No Return.
11. The creepy clone goes to Pabu.
Space Grace.
After figuring out what the coordinates that Fee tried to hide, he spots Hunter and Crosshair and Omega, who are getting ready to leave. Wrecker is packing up the Marauder.
And Wrecker also misses the alarm.
Yeah,
He's got a stealth thing going on.
Bad interface where you can have an alert.
They can be turned off.
It goes away. It's like, well, the thing's not on fire anymore. So
other question. Is this the same cave that Ventress parked her ship in?
It sure did look like
it. The auxiliary parking lot?
Yeah. It's the spooky guy lot.
Also, I feel like you should just check that place regularly. Every day or two, just like, is there a ship down there? let's go down to the cave and check it out.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, the fact that you can just like fly up to this remote island in the middle of nowhere. No one's like, is there a watchtower? Is there,
it seems
like,
pretty space Greece. They're chill.
Yeah, they don't have, I mean, they don't have, it doesn't seem like they have any like space traffic control. Like, they're just humble fisher people. They don't, they, I you, mean, you know,
a lot of planets don't, unless you're going like Coruscant or something like
it. They seems don't like ever a lot of the say planets that this are like, is outer
come,
rim.
Go do what you need to do.
This seems like
they
outer
said
rim.
Mid-rim?
Okay.
Mid-rim? So, really? I mean,
they said at some point in this episode.
It's outer rim. Outer rim. They definitely say outer rim, 100%.
Okay. I mean, it seems real nice, honestly. Like, I don't think anyone there gets email. They don't have a lot of meetings.
If there's no, basically, if there's no equivalent of FAA on this planet, right? Yeah. And there's no essentially air control. That implies that all the air dispatching is done via like automated computers, right? That doesn't make, I don't buy this. I don't buy this.
You think it was an inside job?
You know, I think there's so little traffic. It's not a big deal. This is the space equivalent of your town that doesn't have a traffic light in it out in the Midwest. Because you don't have traffic.
My parents, traffic lights. New Hampshire's on the traffic. Yeah.
Well, that's probably some kind of tax thing.
Yeah, so. It's also live free or die. So
yeah, live free or die. So yeah, you know, right. Yeah, they just, you know, all the traffic lights are just blinking yellows. You know, pump the brakes a little bit, but just, you know, keep on going. You don't have to put your cigarette out. Just, you know, yeah. New Hampshire.
The clone proves himself to be much more competent.
Dan's not going to react to that. He's
no,
just
I'm
keep
not.
It going.
I'm letting it going. Mm-hmm. The clone proves himself to be much more competent in this episode, destroying the Marauder by shooting a bunch of explosives on it.
Wrecker unfortunately notices and dives into the ocean.
Yeah, Wrecker does notice and grabs Gonky.
Yeah.
I don't think we see what happens. They drag him out, but we don't really see Gonky after that.
No.
And then the reinforcements show up as the destroyer shows up overhead.
A lot of stormtroopers.
Yeah, they said a division. A division is a lot of troops.
The image like... of the, I mean, I know it's not a Star Destroyer, but the Venator, cruiser, like,
it's
parked over the planet is haunting, right?
Rogue and then One they have, vibes, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have the drop. Yeah, you know, last episode, Andor vibes. This episode, Rogue One vibes. All your favorite feel-good Star Wars moments. And it's
I thought that was...
This is a lot of dropships for one child. Also, then they blow up like the docks, and I was like, "What if Omega was on the docks?" And it's like they don't care.
They specifically blow up with the boats, but yes, what if she was on a boat?
What if she was on a boat?
They
know
they scan them, and there she is beforehand, right? They know that she's up in like the place where they get all the ice cream.
She's at the ice cream parlor. Yeah. Blow up all the boats.
Torch the ice cream parlor. They were about to torch that house. So, you know,
yeah, I'm just there's saying, a lot they're about to do.
Again,
I'm just saying,
there's a little bit of like,
I think these guys are bad.
Yeah, and again, when they're raising the flamethrower to torch the house, again, I was like, okay, I understand you guys are bad, and you're doing these bad things, but like, did you really need to show they were like that bad?
I wondered if there was a thing, because we've seen Spooky Clone basically on two missions. We've seen him basically where Wolf is calling the shots, and then this is a mission where Spooky Clone has... He's calling the shots. And things are bad. And I even wonder, because it's like, you've got... there's lots of stormtroopers here, right? Because they're full-on stormtroopers. They've got the clone commandos with the glowing blue helmets, or glowing blue faceplates, but then lots of stormtroopers. Which, you know, a lot of them die, and it was like, well, they signed up for this.
I also say this episode, I know we talked a little bit about last episode of like, who is this next man anyways? I now give the dead tech theory a little more credit, that it's actually tech.
I buy it less.
Really?
I think theories I've heard advanced, the Crosshair clone to me sounds...
His voice
plausible.
Is very Crosshair's.
That's
it's very
true.
Crosshair-y.
That's true. At one point, his voice even fluctuates. I actually agree with you, because he also is very good at shooting, right? Yes. He's very accurate.
He does the thing where
I think I actually even came to the same conclusion.
They even, the episode has kind of a parallel structure where early on we see through his scope, and he does the thing where he fires three explosive charges at the Marauder, and then the episode ends with we have shots through Crosshair scope as he fires the tracking device and misses the shuttle.
Yes, that was
there's a lot of stuff in here that is really heartbreaking and well done, but I you know that scene was up there for me. The other one that I thought was I was like startled by is the scene where Hunter tries to steal a gunship, and he manages to knock a bunch of people off, And then the pilot is trying to shake him off and like pilot tells the clone, I can't do it. And the clone's like, nope, sorry, buddy. And
no problem.
Shoots the pilot. Yeah. And you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This guy is not messing around. Because I definitely had moments where, like, to your point about showing,
yeah,
there is a, I don't want to say an adult version of the show, but like if this was in the sort of Andor-ish vibe thing, like, I think they just start killing people. Like, yeah. I think the fact that they 100% did not do that is purely because this is nominally a kid's show.
Yeah. And I actually kept expecting them to do it.
Yeah, that would have been a lot.
It's a kid's show where we threaten to burn down the village, but we don't show the village
burn
burning
down the village. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I think also I wanted to say something else, which is that I think both of these episodes are, again, really well animated. The shots that caught me in this one, there's actually a really just kind of a simple shot. It's the shot when Hunter's coming out of the water.
That was very good.
It's really good. Like the water dripping and like him like crawling up, like the animation models have gotten really good.
The establishing shot of Pabu, I thought in episode 10 was breathtaking. Mm-hmm. We'll say they're still working on the animation of fire. But I think that's also like a general animation issue. I think the first time I actually saw, we watched this episode, was actually thinking the first time we ever saw good animation of fire, I believe, was the Balrog in Lord of the Rings. Mm. That was sort of, I think, the first time we saw a good. Anyways, there's a whole interesting story there about CGI that.
Yeah. Fire, water, and hair are your classic hard to animate things. I like, no, that one's good. It doesn't move as much. I like the, well, like is a strong word. I appreciate the interchange between Crosshair and Omega when Hunter is kind of away and Wrecker is unconscious. Because they really, Crosshair talks to Omega like she is not a child in a way that Hunter and Wrecker don't really. I feel like there's a difficult conversation between Hunter and Crosshair coming next episode. Because how do you feel okay about this?
When this starts happening, and I like maybe, I don't know, a minute or so before this happens, I actually came to this conclusion that I was like, she's going to give herself up. There's literally nothing else she can do. There is no way out of this. And knowing that character, Omega, and what they have seen this season and the things
and
they
she
do,
spells it she's out. Going to we give have to go up. Back. We have to get the other clones.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but it's my, you know, it's my choice. I'm doing it, you know.
Just the guilt Crosshair must feel is just so heavy, right?
Yeah. I was hoping this would be the moment where he realized his hand was all in his head and like he'd get the perfect shot. But
and like he may,
It is a little hard for me to believe that there are 4 episodes left. With our friends, the Bad Batch, and then Never Again. Single tear rolls down my cheek.
Because Crosshair, I think, missed that shot, I also now, again, the current poll in my mind of does Crosshair live or does Crosshair die by the end of the series? I think this is a little more in the, we are now more likely to see the self-sacrifice come out based on this for his arc.
I think that, I mean, you know, to me, I liked Omega trying to make a plan, even, and I liked that plan was shot down because of it wouldn't work, right? Yeah, like, she's like, I'll hide my communicator and you can track me. And Crosshair's like, that's not going to work. They're going to look. And like, well, you shoot a tracker onto the ship. And he's like, there's too many variables. Like, what if they change ships? What if they do that? Right? Like, he's totally right. It's a bad plan, but it's like,
it's the only plan
the only plan they have. Otherwise, they keep running and they destroy the entire city.
There's a shot where Omega is on the ship and she like takes her hat off. And I was like waiting for them to give us like
hat. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, where is the crumb? You're going to give us the crumb that everything's going to be okay. No crumbs.
Nope.
No crumbs. You
know? Well, I think she's going to get thrown in with the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
And we've already seen them try to escape. One kid tried to escape once. And so I suspect that she's going to work on Emery. And they're going to have to figure out a way to at least tell everybody where they are. We're going to have to get Echo and Rex in there because
Echo and Rex, I think, show up next episode. Or, I mean, next episode is either a bottle episode or something. It may not
it's
be
a
in a
rough
bottle
episode. Bottle episode time to do that.
I'm going to be with just all the kids on, what is Tandis. That? Plan? Tandis, thank you. Or we'll do, I mean, I think, either, yes. It's a very obvious statement. Either we're going to do this or that. Either we're spending one time with the characters or all the other characters
I
we
think
have.
The next
or
episode totally will take characters. Place in space and we'll feature some of the Bad Batch.
or not. Or
Deep,
not.
Deep Bradley Baker will provide one voice or more.
this may be the Cad Bane bottle episode.
I don't need anything more from Cad Bane.
Yeah.
I like Cad Bane. I gotta be honest. I actually generally like Cad Bane.
As a person?
Well, is he the one that does the... There's an episode in Clone Wars where Obi-Wan has to go
pretend to be a bounty hunter and do the...
Yeah, the obstacle
crazy
course.
Is that with Cad Bane? Puzzles. Yes.
Love I believe
Cad
episode.
Bane is in that.
It's great.
Yeah. And doesn't recognize him for some reason.
Yeah,
for
it most. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's disguised. His face is like,
I like
disfigured
that he's wearing
because
Cad Bane really hates Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. Right? I like that there are like several people who think they're like Obi-Wan Kenobi's archenemy, right? Because like
he's like it's clearly Darth Vader.
Well, like, I mean, but also like Darth Maul, and I just imagine Darth Maul and Cad Bane like showing up and Darth Vader being there, and they're like, who are you?
Are you his best friend? Yeah. I'm his best friend.
Well, that's yeah. I was thinking of that meme that was going around about the D&D one with the bard, where it's like, what if I just tell you the insult and you tell me how many dice I roll? you're none of your best friend's best friend. You're none of your worst enemy's worst enemy. Like,
poor Darth brutal. Maul. He's overcome so much.
Twice. So that we kind of get left with a bit of this is our end of Empire Strikes Back, it feels like,
yeah,
right? With like
I do appreciate they did both these episodes. I am very happy they released both these episodes back to back, because if I had both these episodes 1 week apart and had to do two downers in a row, I may have been in a rough place. Like if we just had episode 10 and that was it tonight,
you would be
I might enjoy this pod. I would not enjoy this podcast.
Yeah. I mean,
don't worry.
I think
we should talk about other uplifting things, like a new series of Tales from the Jedi. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's going to be... Should we talk about Tales from the Empire?
Yeah, Star Wars
we can mention that.
Guys, Star Wars is sad now. Deal with it.
Well, it's
emo.
It's going to be interesting to see that of like... And I think this is... I don't feel a lot of compassion for Emery. I feel some. When they do the trailer, which is basically the rise of Barriss from Clone Wars and Elspeth Morgan from Ahsoka. Morgan Elspeth? Elspeth Morgan? Meh. From Ahsoka and The Mandalorian.
Yes.
I think the question is, how are they going to be... empathetic characters, protagonists? How are they going to be protagonists that you care about?
I think that's a good question. I mean, I can see...
I think it's the main question.
Well, I mean, based on the trailer, and in case you were not aware, Tales of the Empire is a 6-part miniseries airing on May 4th. It is basically the second season of Tales of the Jedi, which we saw a couple of years ago, in that it should feature roughly 2 stories divided up into 6 episodes that are shorter. They're like 15-ish minutes each. One of which will cover Morgan Elsbeth, as mentioned, who is from The Mandalorian and from Ahsoka, is a former Night Sister, we know.
Mm-hmm,
and I think that's one of the places they will use to basically try and give you some sympathy, is like all the Night Sisters were wiped out, basically. Like, she's one of the last of her kind. Like, that's sort of... In the same way they did this... I mean, I thought one of the impressive things in the Tales of the Jedi episode was making you feel some degree of sympathy for Count Dooku as a character who is like...
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man, I do not like what we're doing here.
Why,
but you understood his motivation.
No, you're totally right.
So, I kind of imagine that. The Barriss story I have a harder time with, because from the trailer, it essentially looks like her training as an Inquisitor. And
yeah,
it's like,
with that, there was... Who's the character in Obi-Wan who becomes an Inquisitor just...
Reva.
I wonder if they're going to give her a Reva-like backstory.
It feels like we've already gone down that path with Reva, so I guess the question is, can you go to that well again? I mean, we also know everything Barriss already did from the Clone Wars, and it was not great.
Not great.
Yeah. And it could also fundamentally... I think, did we see Elspeth and Barriss having a lightsaber battle in that trailer?
No, I think we see other...
I think there were separate things
happening, because they intercut.
I thought there might have been the chance that happened, in which case then it might be the two playing against each other.
Mm-hmm. I was unclear how much we knew about the structure of this. So we know it's 6 episodes. We know it's a mini series, so it's not a full season, and it's also not, the episodes are shorter. Do we know if all of the episodes are about those two characters?
I think it's 3 and 3, because they mentioned specifically 2 stories.
No, it is actually 3 and 2, and then there's an episode about the Mandalorian halfway through.
Reference acknowledged.
I think so. I mean, if you look back at the Tales of the Jedi, it was Ahsoka and Count Dooku.
Yeah.
And they were, the weird part about it was they were done, I think, kind of roughly in chronological order. So they were interspersed. So it was like an episode about Ahsoka, an episode about Dooku, two more episodes about Ahsoka, and then an episode about Dooku. Or like, and it was kind of strange as opposed to just being like, here's three episodes about this character and three episodes about this character. But again, those happened in interlocking time periods. These also probably happen in interlocking time periods, which is a between Clone Wars and New Hope, yeah. I think, in both cases. We see a very young Thrawn at one point.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that looks good.
And we see the Grand Inquisitor before. So it's definitely before Rebels, season one.
It's nice nice to see him again, you know.
Jason Isaacs doing doing some really quality Isaacing.
I just, the version of the Grand Inquisitor in Obi-Wan was disappointing to me. So
I like the actor they got to play him a lot. He's good in other stuff.
He's good in other things. He was kind of a waste of that.
Yeah, I don't think that character, they really knew it. They wanted to throw that character in, but I don't think that character actually had much of a
Yeah, they forgot to do anything with him.
Yeah.
No, it's because they killed him halfway through and then brought him back.
Yeah. Spoilers.
But yeah, it seems interesting. So I think the real question then is if we're going to do a podcast per episode or just around all six.
I think we'll just do all six because they all drop on the same day.
I'm kidding. Yeah. It's definitely sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so I mean, but that gives us something to do in between. So the last episode of The Bad Batch airs on May 1st. This airs on May 4th, and The Acolyte starts on June 4th, I think. So we'll have a couple weeks off in between, but this will give us a little bit of something to talk about in between the two shows. But yes, only four episodes of The Bad Batch left.
And the only other news from Disney is that the proxy battle...
everyone is really interested in
proxy corner.
Yeah. The incumbents won. The traditional board won, not the activist investor.
Oh, okay. Good? Question mark?
Though he still made like $300 million.
I was going to say, you sent me
So he's even when you lose, you make millions of dollars. Great.
Yeah, that must
Welcome
be nice.
To capitalism.
Wow. I am in the wrong profit, business.
It's still profit.
It's unrealized gain. Anyways.
Just like this show.
But yeah, this would...
Yeah, I did want to mention also, because we haven't mentioned it in a while.
Squigs?
Yeah, we should get, just a reminder, if you want to support the show, we sell a shirt.
This is your transition from the horrors of capitalism to...
To the how capitalism can help us, the little guys.
If you can't beat them, join them.
Okay.
The dark side.
Yeah.
go to Cotton Bureau and search for...
You can just go to hellonerds.shop.
Go to hellonerds.shop and buy yourself a Purgle and Squiggs Attorneys at Law shirt. A shirt that makes me laugh every time I wear it. Also, a shirt that I realized, and this is a call out specifically for our New England friends, scans perfectly to Bernie and Phil's.
Yeah, 100%.
Purgle and Squiggs. Quality, comfort, and price.
That's how nice.
Wow.
There you go, New England. You're going to enjoy that. If you're not from New England, we are not insane. Yeah.
Man, there's so many jingles.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. I have now Cars for Kids stuck in my head. 1-800 Cars for Kids.
Yes, we will be back in a week to talk about the next episode of The Bad Batch. Until then, I would like to thank.
Wait, do we have any listener mail?
Oh shoot, mail! Oh my god. I forgot about the mail.
I was gonna say, like, Dan, it's possible we may not have any mail, and that's fine. We can wrap up here, but like.
No, I'm prepared for all this. But first, listener mail.
Are you gonna actually edit this?
No, nope. Keep it in. Keep it
okay.
in.
Okay.
People love the unfiltered.
Do they? Of us?
So
that seems
yes.
wrong.
It's the only kind. Yes, you can send us mail. We
and
are
and buy a t-shirt at the same time.
Buy a t-shirt. And if you buy a t-shirt, don't send it to us in the mail because we already have them.
Yeah, we're good.
You can reach us on Mastodon, where we're at ACP at Zeppelin.flights. A couple notes from the last week. Lyle writes in to say, this article makes a pretty good case for Ventress and sent us an article about Ventress's backstory and why they think they might be popular, including her character design is great. Her voice actress gives her range and emotional interest. She's a fascinating alien female character from a series that has a lot of straight cis white human dudes, and her varied background and influences. Excuse me. Jedi, assassin, separatist, Sith apprentice, bounty hunter, night sister, ace war pilot gives her a ton of creative space to expand what Star Wars is.
I agree with that. I think where we came from the last episode is that we just hope they use her more. But that does actually remind me too that I found it interesting, all the specimens, speaking of sort of aliens, all the specimen children in the base were all aliens, mm-hmm. which again I think just speaks to that non-overt racism of the Empire.
Or over, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Certainly dehumanization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to forward that article to us, that's cool.
It was sent in a reply to all three of us. Anyway.
Thanks. On Mastodon?
Yep.
Oh, I should check that.
Yeah, see, there's your name right there.
Cool. I'll check it out. Thanks.
David writes,
I'm not the best Mastodon user. I'm still learning it.
David writes, after I listened to this episode, I was wondering if this episode was Filoni tying up threads from the films. It kind of feels like the Ryloth episode from last season to me. Really cool, but I'm not sure it was primarily about pushing the plot forward. I mean, this is kind of the debate we had, and I think the question is, do we see more Ventress in this last four episodes, or was that a one and done? And if it was a one and done, I agree. I think it was a lovely little atmospheric play, basically, but it is a little weird to have it not go anywhere. So I don't know where we're going with that. Daniel, not me, writes, I can't quite make it a coherent conspiracy corner, but I have this feeling that Ventress has heard of Project Necromancer and is hunting down loose threads of it as a way of getting revenge on the Emperor. Maybe she lives for revenge, and Sheev and Obi-Wan are the only two still alive I can think of that she'd really want to hurt.
Hmm.
Which is plausible.
She also thinks Obi-Wan is her arch enemy.
Everybody hates Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of guy.
I guess Anakin had his fair share of,
yeah,
of nemeses.
Yeah, he hates Obi-Wan.
But like,
oh, sorry. I thought that's where you were going.
No, I was gonna say, I think, like, is everybody like, oh, but that guy's dead, so like, job done.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like everyone's like, you have that friend who's like really nice, but everyone finds him actually kind of super annoying. Is that Obi-Wan?
I don't have that friend.
This just got really awkward really fast.
Jamie just pointed out that now we know what ACP will be doing in May before the Acolyte starts in June, with a link to the Tales of the Empire trailer. Correct. And we had, I think, only one letter, which you can write to us at acp@theincomparable.com. This was from Paul. Paul writes, my Star Wars. Growing up, everyone has their version of Star Wars. It might be the theatrical version, VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, Special Edition, Despecialized Edition, etc. For me, it was the late 80s taped off TV version, commercials and all, featuring a promo for, you guessed it, Moonlighting, Season 3, Episode 7, Atomic Shakespeare.
Wow, this is an actual legitimate connection.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I thought he was going to say for, it was included the commercials for Cristal Beer.
Yeah.
So there's a crystal. I was really tempted to edit that into an episode of this show, but I did not do that. You're all welcome.
For those who don't know that, I think Dan or Tony, there was recently an article that was someone forwarded to us that essentially in, I want to say, is it Brazil?
I thought it was
somewhere in South America.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I believe, I'm going to get this probably wrong, but the person who, the corporation that, again, capitalism, the corporation that basically owned the TV network, I think. I'm basically wrong. Anyways, the beer company that was selling their beer spliced in their ads as if they were parts of the show, just as A New Hope was going to commercial break. So,
so you
like
would see
Skywalker,
like Obi-Wan reaching for the tractor beam controls, and they would cut to an ad that was a hand reaching in for a beer in a, you know, so Imperial looking fridge.
Chile,
yeah. They were sued by George Lucas.
Yeah, apparently also this entire thing has the entire ad campaign has a name, The Forces with Cristal Beer. Broadcast in Chile in December 2003. Bold. I like it.
Yeah, George Lucas has no sense of humor about his intellectual property.
Yeah, unfortunately,
rights.
The only people who get to edit things into Star Wars is George Lucas.
Yeah. When I add more rocks, it's okay. But when you add one beer.
Anyways, thanks to everybody who wrote in. Again, you can email us at acp@theincomparable.com, or you can find us on Mastodon at acp@zeppelin.flights. Now we have reached the end of the show, and I would like to thank everybody who is listening, and especially to our supporting members at The Incomparable. Go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up, get extra bonus content, access to our member Discord, bootleg episodes that get posted before they're even edited, all sorts of great features and benefits and bonuses, and for just a low price. And we really appreciate it. We don't do ads. This show is entirely supported by members, which makes you
members
all
members like you.
You.
Oh, man, I'm putting out the little PBS jingles in my head. this is our spring fundraising drive, and we'll talk to you now for 20 minutes about how people are calling in and you might get a tote bag.
Sad part is both GBH and WBR are struggling to fundraise, and I think there's now a serious question of, like, can Boston afford two public radio stations? Which is really sad. Like, I love having two public radio stations. So if you live in the Boston area, I actually do encourage you to give to NPR. If you enjoy Jim and Marjorie and everyone else, then...
This got hyper-local and weird.
Yeah. Tune in next time for more Star Wars commentary / information about our immediate vicinity.
And heists.
And heists that are far away. Much too far for us to have committed. How'd you guys like that earthquake?
Friday night energy. Thank you especially to my co-hosts.
Oh, that's us.
Tony Sindelar, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dan.
Kat Benish, always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
She couldn't get through it with a straight face.
And for those who are on the Easter Seaboard, I hope everyone who sees it enjoys the eclipse on Monday.
Enjoy your eclipse.
But wear your eclipse glasses.
It's not just on the Eastern Seaboard, by the way. It goes across the whole...
Also, there's some parts of the Eastern Seaboard that are no good. That's true.
Yeah. Can I redo that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
For those of you who are along the path of the totality, I hope you enjoy, which sounds vaguely threatening.
It sounds a little bit like a cult now. Like, if you are in the path of totality, you have ascended to the third level.
I won't try it again. It's fine.
Here, no, Kat, what you meant to say was, if you could see the eclipse, enjoy the eclipse. If you can't, don't.
The second part was unnecessary, but okay.
Just mean.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to whatever this show is. We really appreciate it. We have a lot of fun. We hope you do, too. We will be back next week, but until then, may the force be with you.
Squigs!
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.